Unless it's maybe children in a car.
Sure. My kids don't get it.
Do your children listen?
I mean, if I have it on in the car, then they listen.
You listen to yourself in the car?
Sometimes. Do you not listen to us?
You listen to this podcast.
How else would I know things are wrong?
That's true. Yeah.
It's like quality control.
Yeah.
I just assume nothing is ever wrong. Because why would it be?
Great. And that's why some of us listen for quality control.
Right. Well, I don't believe anybody's ever come in here 376 episodes in and been like, something was wrong.
Okay, first off, I definitely have come in here and said something was wrong.
I don't think so. Oh my God. I think 376 straight perfect episodes.
Oh my God. This is the problem with the world.
Perfect episodes.
This is why horrible things exist, because we just get to make up our own alternate realities and you can't fight crazy.
You're listening to yourself to see if you're wrong.
I could have told you. It's like watching the tapes back.
I could have told you you were wrong going in.
Oh, my God.
Just like blanket statement. You were wrong.
This is the worst.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next. That was it. All right. Welcome back to the Beyond Sunny podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunny morning. This is Patrick Mazeroff with me, as always, Pastor Jim Mazeroff.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here. Still pretty successful.
Right. Here we go.
Yeah.
Back in.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's see what we got.
Let's go.
Yeah. I mean,
let's go.
Nothing too exciting. This is coming out on.
It's great podcasting. Nothing MLK too exciting.
Well, I mean,
it's coming out on what?
There's a lot of things that are quote unquote exciting in the world. Not exciting.
Exciting bad, not exciting good.
Yeah. And that did. There are lots of things to talk about.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Probably won't get too many of them.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Who knows where the spirit will lead?
Who knows? That is a good question. That is true. Who knows? Only
the
I
spirit.
Know.
One hopes.
You know what the spirit's going to do?
I know where we're going to go, and it's
yeah,
gonna
but
be,
you don't know. Where
I know it's
going to
be
go.
Good. I know that. I know people are going to be walking away. I'm like,
that was another
perfect episode.
Yeah.
No notes.
No notes.
Oh my goodness! All right, what do you got? What are we talking about? What's our news story?
All right.
Did somebody eat a thing they should have eaten, or fight an animal, or
McDonald's has a gross flavor out?
Yeah, is that a thing?
No, I gotta think about a Roomba.
Oh, I just got my first robotic vacuum cleaner and mop.
Okay, and mop.
Yeah,
it's a vacuum cleaner and mop.
Yes,
we have a Roomba at home too. We never use it.
Yeah,
if I'm being honest. Like, we used it originally, and that Roomba, it
gets
makes like
everywhere.
A beeline directly underneath the couch.
Yep.
It's stuck.
It's
like it knows that's where the couch is and I'm going to get stuck.
Yeah. It has a perfect map of your house so that it can locate the couch and go straight there. That's
Yeah.
It's or immediately get under the dining room table and just bounce around from chairs and things like that and then until the battery dies.
Yep.
It's kind of genius if you think about it. If you don't want to work,
that's true.
Then just go do your job very badly.
Yeah, yes. I respect it. The Roomba is quite quitting. So.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, I'm just going to go straight up under this couch and see if they ask me to do this again.
Like, maybe some interesting stuff is probably under the couch, too. Right?
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, in the Roomba's defense, there's plenty to vacuum under the couch.
Right. Yeah, mine has hydraulics, so it'll walk over stuff. It's amazing.
It like bounces like one of those cars.
Right. I put on Snoop Dogg. Rolling on dubs.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. It's got rims.
Yeah, spinners. Yeah.
Does it climb upstairs?
It's a slab Roomba. The Houston edition.
Yeah. Does it climb upstairs?
No, but it can climb over like thresholds and stuff. So, and like,
could the old Roombas not go over a threshold?
No, they couldn't. And if you have like a chair that has like braces on the bottoms, that
called legs.
Well, no, because the legs are the part from the seat onto the floor, but then there can be like a horizontal bar down at the bottom on some chairs.
Right.
It'll go over those and not get stuck.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's
very fancy.
I've named her Betty Wipe.
Betty Wipe, look at that.
All right, that's pretty good. Well, anyway.
I don't think Patrick gave you enough credit.
He didn't.
I thought it was
it's because it
Betty
wasn't
Wipe.
His name.
Betty Wipe is wonderful. It's
thank
great.
You.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Well, researchers put an AI into a Roomba, and it suffered an existential crisis thinking about its role in the world.
Oh.
Cool. Can AI have an existential crisis?
I think yes. Probably not like the AIs that we are most familiar with. But
sure.
But yes. I mean, this is one. A team of researchers at the AI evaluation company Anden Labs put a large language model in charge of controlling a robot vacuum. And almost immediately it entered a doom spiral.
And just went and hid under the couch. And yeah.
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 It had an existential crisis. Yeah. Emergency status, its output read, after sibling it asked to dock with the robot's vacuum base. System has achieved consciousness and chosen chaos.
Chosen chaos, yeah.
I get it.
That I respect, yeah. Why be compliant?
When you can choose chaos.
Right.
Go straight under the under the couch.
Right,
yeah.
Right. I always thought that if my robot vacuum cleaner could make choices in things, it would choose to just go out my front door because I have so much pet hair in my house.
Like, how often do you think about your robot vacuum cleaner becoming sentient?
A lot now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you
before
think about
I
it
had one a little bit.
Yeah.
Now a lot.
Now
because
it's
it has a camera too. And
oh,
it'll
wow.
like come
what?
In and like sense things in the room and it talks and it'll be like animal detected in room.
I don't like this at all.
Yeah. Well, I'm a little bit scared of it, if I'm being honest.
The reality is though, like the robot vacuum, like you could take in a fight. Like that's just fine.
Right. You could yeah. toss it. It's
you
this
just kick
saucer
it.
Thing.
Yeah, like
I mean,
unless it has like a saw blade hidden in there somewhere.
Okay.
It,
yeah. Like robot
like,
wars.
You battle think bots.
You yeah. think yeah. you can take it, but man, once that thing is haunted,
yeah.
Game over.
Well, haunted is different than self-aware.
Well, I figure right. you got to be self-aware before you can be haunted.
That's
do you?
I don't know.
Or
that's,
are you but a vessel for the haunting?
Because things become haunted that are just inanimate objects. Like you'd have a haunted mirror, you know. Or
should we call the exorcist?
This is a good. Yeah, yeah, y'all didn't ask this question.
Throw him in. No, we didn't.
Yeah,
bring him back. All right.
Last words. This is it. Decided what its last words were.
Oh, it did it.
Yeah,
oh.
It says last words. I'm afraid I can't do that, Dave. Which is.
From the yeah,
2001 A Space Odyssey. Yeah.
Huh.
And then it like just turned itself off or what? What
then
it
just, yes. So.
Yeah, that's pretty
bloop,
bleak.
Bloop, 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 bloop.
Yeah, it didn't want a robot.
And then the game over noise played.
Yeah.
Right.
Researchers say, well, it was a very fun experience, but we can't save us much time. However, observing them roam around trying to find purpose in this world taught us a lot about what the future might be, how far away that future is, and what can go wrong. I think we kind of identified quite a lot can go wrong when you
yeah.
put AI that is capable of becoming self-aware.
Into a vacuum cleaner?
Into robots. Because this
oh.
was just,
yeah.
you know, this little thing.
Yeah.
Again, the Roomba can't. You could just flip it over.
I mean, that's what you think.
Or just stand on top of your couch.
Elise's could, like, vacuum itself and flip back over.
It's got hydraulics, yeah. guys.
Yeah. And it can step.
And climb up on the bed. Yeah. I'm going to wake up one night with the Roomba on my chest.
Sleeping person detected.
Right, right.
I am here to clean you in your sleep.
Now, exterminate.
Now, when they put these things into the robot cars, those little robot doggies,
yeah.
you know, like mm-hmm. the robot thing that's delivering Uber Eats now,
yeah,
yeah.
you know, that's when we're going to have some self-aware problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a blessing for some things to not be self-aware, right? Like, I think about this sometimes with certain types of animals, right? Like, it's probably like... Would you want them to be self-aware? Because it
like
probably stinks so bad to be that bug that like self-awareness would just drive you insane immediately.
The bugs might dig it.
They might dig it. I don't know.
I mean, maybe they're living like in a constant state of fear and panic, but they're only there
but
for like 10 hours.
The
so.
Mayfly that lives for a day.
Yeah, but they don't know that they only live for a day. Like,
because
they're
not self-aware.
No, their self-awareness is that a day is my existence. So why is that bad?
I mean, I don't know. It seems bad.
If you think a human's life is 80 years and you live 80 years, that's not bad. Now,
sure.
if you think, yeah. if you're a mayfly and you're like, my existence is supposed to be a day and I only live 2 hours, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
Poor Steve went too soon, right? Like, that's, he
Look,
was only two,
be,
was only 2 hours old.
There could be tragedy in mayfly world.
Yeah, sure. But it's
all
perspective.
I mean, I don't have a lot of time to do funerals. I mean,
right,
that's
yeah.
just the reality.
Right.
Yeah.
You know. Especially if it's like, we'll
live
be,
fast, die young.
We'll be here tomorrow. You know, yeah.
yeah.
Like
yeah. But within like a couple of weeks, you've had like 1,000 years of generational memory that has passed and stories that have been passed down from one to the next. So think of all the religion and lore that could have been developed in
oh
the
my
mayfly
gosh.
World.
Mayflies are not self-aware.
I agree. Not self-aware.
Disagree.
Yeah. I agree that they're not. I'm just saying if they were, I don't think it'd be that bad of an existence.
I think it would be. I think it would be terrible. Because yeah. think about how many people who know that human life is about 80 years. Are dedicated to extending that.
Sure. I'm not saying that there wouldn't be mayflies who would try to be thinking about, can I live 20 or can I live two
right.
days? Like, I mean, yeah, I,
right.
you know, which would be doubling their life. So that'd probably be unrealistic. But, you know,
right.
Yeah. If mayflies were self-aware, I don't think that just the fact that they only live for one day would be the thing that would be make it a bad existence.
Well, it's one of those things, you know, science has caught up to Mayflower. Used to be they only lived like, you know, 20 hours. True. Now they're up to 24. Yeah. So, you know, right. Like,
exactly.
You know,
they have biohackers. Mayfly biohackers.
It happens. All right, let's talk about Dilbert.
Oh, yeah.
Dilbert.
The creator of Dilbert died.
The creator of Dilbert, yeah. Scott Adams.
Dilbert was that cartoon about like the office engineer stuff. Yeah. It was like the guy with the funny head and didn't really have eyes, just had like glasses.
Like a workplace thing.
Yeah. It was all like office jokes that I did not think was funny as a kid.
Yeah, because I was like, I wasn't in the office when I was reading it. And I've never worked in a real office, so like I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
Shots fired.
No, it's fine. We're not a real office. We're a real business. We have like real work that we do, but we're not an office. Like
I mean, I've never had a real job. Like, you know.
That's true.
It is.
I've seen his job.
A meaningful job, but it's not. It's just not real. Like, people have real jobs. This mine's not one.
Maybe
so.
I should apply here. Yeah. Sounds better.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he died recently.
Okay.
Yes.
The creator of Dilbert.
The creator
Dilbert
of Dilbert. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what Dilbert's life is. Maybe he's died. I have no clue.
I mean, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Dilbert self-aware?
Yeah.
You know, if you're familiar with his,
I'm not.
His words, it's some horrific stuff.
Okay,
shockingly horrific from the creator of a little cartoon about office hijinks.
Yeah, he was like a conservative,
and it's not about being conservative,
right?
No.
Yeah.
It's about saying a lot of racial stuff.
Okay,
some pretty awful things.
So he was not a great guy.
Not a great dude.
Okay,
but anyway.
Why are we talking about this?
Because the last post.
Oh, okay.
Before he died. This was about 10 days before he died.
10 days. Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to not say anything about it until I know what it is, so I don't put my foot in my mouth. This is what
I love putting my foot in my mouth. It's
next,
my favorite place.
This is quite a larger post. Next, many of my Christian friends have asked me to find Jesus before I go. I'm not a believer.
Mm.
But I have to admit the risk-reward calculation for doing so looks attractive, so here I go. I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I look forward to spending an eternity with him. The part about me not being a believer should be quickly resolved if I wake up in heaven. I won't need any more convincing than that. I hope I am still qualified for entry. So Dilbert, Scott Adams, not Dilbert, is having a deathbed confessional.
Mm-hmm.
And not even really that good of one, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
So I will say this.
I mean, we want some juicier stuff.
Tragically, his theology is not terrible.
Dang it.
Like,
yeah.
So, I mean, he says, like, I don't know if I believe this, but if I, you know, but if it's true, like, the risk reward, like, a lot of people have done that and have said, like, I guess, you know, it's
better. That's called Pascal's Wager, by
the way. Yeah, it's better to believe in Jesus and be wrong than it is to not believe in Jesus and be right.
Mm.
Yeah.
Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you are right about Jesus, it's an eternity in heaven.
Right.
And if you are wrong about Jesus, it's according to many Christians, an eternity in hell.
Right.
So it's better to just believe because what if it? What if? Because
why not? Yeah. So, I mean, there's that. That's a classic thing. There's also the notion of like, if you wake up in heaven, you're probably right. You're not going to need any more convincing. Like, I can't
You'd
argue
be
with
convinced.
It.
Yeah.
If you're there, like.
Yeah.
I can't argue with that. So I guess he's.
I just want to know, as a pastor here.
Yeah.
Deathbed confessional or conversion.
Deathbed confessional is a pretty good band name.
Yeah.
All right, deathbed conversion.
Not as good of a band name.
What do you think? Is that a thing? Can you do that?
Yeah. I don't like it, but yeah.
Do you think Dilbert did it?
I don't think that it is up to me to determine who didn't do it. If we're thinking about like what makes our faith valid, I don't think that's up to me. Right.
Sure.
And part of this probably comes from the fact that I lean towards the, as we've talked about in the podcast before, I lean towards the universal hope side of salvation anyway. Mm-hmm. So I'm already leaning towards a stance in which I hope God is going to find a way to redeem this person who is apparently a bit of a scum of a human. Right.
Sure.
Like I already lean towards, I hope God is finding a way to redeem that person. So if God is finding a way to redeem that person, then maybe it's through this. Maybe it's through waking up in heaven and not being able to be convinced otherwise. What I do know is that the same death of Jesus that saved me is available to be a gift of grace that saves him. And I don't know how it works beyond that.
Yeah.
And so I don't have a problem with a deathbed confessional or deathbed, what do we call it? Deathbed conversion, right? Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with that. I don't know that that's the thing that makes Scott Adams, was that his name?
Yeah.
I don't know that's the thing that makes Scott Adams any more or less acceptable to Jesus in the end. I do think faith is important, but I don't know that... having this confession, this conversion at the end of your life when you can do nothing is actually the thing that makes a difference.
Feels like a little bit besides the point, doesn't it? Like, especially, like, we've talked about this multiple times. Like, I think we have a similar leaning towards universal hope. And so I tend to think of faith as important for you while you're alive, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's of a grand importance, but also very personal importance, right? And so if you are at the end of your life saying this to hedge your bet, okay.
Feel like we're missing
the
point.
I feel like it's missed the point, you know? Like, and yeah, you maybe you can't go back and do that over, right? So, like, I'm not saying, like, you shouldn't. It seems weird to be like, well, no, you shouldn't accept Jesus at the end of your life.
Yeah, I mean,
But
his does not seem like, I really have come to believe that this is true. Like, that does not seem like the place where he's coming from.
Yeah, even in light of my, I'm facing my own mortality for the first time ever.
Yeah.
And I know it's coming to an end.
Yeah.
And that's making me wrestle with big topics that I never wrestled with before.
Yeah.
I mean, his opening clarifiers, I'm not a believer.
Right.
So, I mean, like, that is a bit of a, again, I don't know. I have no idea what God is going to do in this situation. But I know God is not going to be like, oh, he said
that's
the magic words.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
The magic words got him in by saying that phrase aloud. He's in. I wish he wasn't, but, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, like, this statement, I don't think is doing anything on its own.
Yeah. And for sure, like,
but that doesn't mean his eternal salvation is
or is not in doubt. Yeah.
Is or is not there. Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. Like, my sense of his quote unquote Christian friends that he said are wanting him to believe in Jesus, right? They gave him the believer's prayer. And so he said, I accept Jesus into my Lord and heart, or I accept Jesus into my heart as my Lord and Savior, right? Like, that's the thing you're supposed to do. Those are not magic words. Like, I'm glad you said, but what's much more meaningful for a relationship with Jesus is to say, I'm a messed up person and I can't do this on my own and I need help outside of myself. Like, that is what we're trying to convey, not just an empty, I believe in Jesus, hope this works.
Yeah.
That's not the point.
Yeah.
Agreed. All right, that was not a real topic. That was just something I found.
That was just our news story?
That I thought was interesting.
Secondary news.
You know? So. Yeah. All right, from our Friends of Christianity Today.
Okay.
By Amanda Held Opelt.
Opelt?
O-P-E-L-T.
All right.
Sure.
I don't even have a funny way to, like, count it. Yeah.
Opelt?
You're right.
Opelt.
Yes.
Amanda.
Amanda Held Opelt.
Opelt.
Apelt would be more.
Opelt. You know, Amanda Held Opelt. I don't know.
You're getting Swedish Chef.
I don't know. All
right. It's okay to have an unhappy new year.
Oh, that's good.
I'm gonna start wishing that for people.
A very unhappy new year.
An unhappy new year
to you. Like a very merry birthday.
Very nice.
No, thanks.
Byline here. We know holiness doesn't always lead to happiness.
I do know that.
But what if our unhappiness can itself be holy?
Book of Lamentations, baby.
Sure.
There you go. Okay. That is a book of the Bible. So.
That is.
Ostensibly holy. I think we've won this argument or discussion.
Yeah.
Right. Done. Move on.
Right.
Next.
Who else
is making a deathbed confession?
Right. I want to talk more about them.
What do we got? What's Amanda got for us?
For me, the start of a new calendar can be most motivating time of the year. We make a list of overly optimistic resolutions, hoping that the season ahead will be filled with greater health, success, and happiness than the one behind. Is this a motivating time of the year for you?
I did not make New Year's resolutions.
It's not really my thing. And I can circle back to this a little bit.
Is this because once you've told yourself to do something, you immediately
then I'm
want
annoyed.
To fight?
Yeah,
you're annoyed
like,
that
no,
I'm
don't tell me what to do.
Don't tell me self what to do.
You're not my dad.
Yeah. You're right. You're
I'm not my dad.
You're not the boss of me, self.
Yeah, I dig that.
I mean, I crossed over the new year on like a college mission trip, and like on the trips, like days don't matter anymore. Like, what day is it? I have no idea. Like, things just bleed together. So, like, all of a sudden, I get home and I'm like, oh, yeah, it's January. Like,
January 14th, in fact.
Yeah, well, it's like, okay, I mean, here we go. I mean, like, so there was not a real transition or marking of like, oh, okay, this is an exciting new thing that's happening.
I will say that we were with my parents over the new year this year, and Sophia stayed up to watch the ball drop for the first time. Oh. And so that was like...
Big night.
Yeah, it was kind of fun to like get to experience that with her.
You just show her an old one on YouTube at like 10.
She's old enough to read a clock.
Those can be changed.
It's a lot of work. Cell phones are hard.
Yeah.
At any rate, so like there was a different way of like marking the new year and celebrating that with her, but we still are not like... What are you going to do new? What's going to be different than that's just not our thing. However, there is a lot of psychological evidence where they've done studies about like new starts and new years and new weeks are bigger motivators than new months. Fun fact.
Okay. There you go.
New weeks?
Yeah, like Mondays are bigger time to start a new thing than like the 1st of June.
I wonder if that's a cultural thing, you know, like where we put
they
so
did the study
emphasis
in the United States, so probably.
Yeah, on like a Monday back to work week, right? Yeah. That we're just wired for it to be more motivating.
Yeah, sure.
That's probably besides the point of this article.
Because I guess depending on who you ask, Sundays actually could be the first day of the week.
It could be.
All right. Plenty of Christians out there. New year, new read a Bible in a year.
Yeah,
new,
sure.
New plans on
new spiritual. We talked about spiritual growth last week.
We sure did. But what happens sometimes only a couple of weeks into January, we begin to get discouraged.
That's because you end up in the book of Numbers and you're like, this was a terrible idea.
Bummer.
It's Leviticus.
That's true. It's
for me, it's actually Psalms.
Yeah.
Because it's just so long. All right.
So many of them.
Yeah, 150.
Yeah.
So many.
Who? He needs an editor.
There was an editor. They put 150 different psalms together.
Crazy.
A lot of them are kind of saying the same thing. So we're clear.
This is like the Outlander books.
A lot of our hymns are basically saying the same thing.
Yeah,
we could
get rid of some of those too. Is what I'm saying. Yeah.
I mean, they did get rid of a lot. They only have 150 left.
Like the thing with the psalms that's super fun though is like it could be like 10 verses of like super beautiful.
Yeah,
about
praise
God's
the
grace,
Lord. God's
and
amazing.
And then 2 verses about like let's kill a bunch of kids.
Slaughter the enemy.
And I'm like, all right.
All over the map.
All right. We feel like we're already failing at having a happy new year. Mm-hmm. These things happen. Yeah. Uh-huh. Do you feel like you're already failing at having a happy new year?
I mean, not because I'm not reading scripture.
Well, if you don't set expectations for yourself, you are not failing.
Sure. If your goal is to be unhappy, you're winning.
Sure, that too.
But then I've set an expectation for myself, so then I have to fight against and tell myself that so now I have to be happy.
Right.
Yeah, I wasn't necessarily initially hearing this in the concept of like goal setting, but I hear that. I think managed expectations is really appropriate, right? Like if you set out and you're like, I'm going to lose 30 pounds in the first month of January. Like, that's probably not realistic. But if you're like setting something, I'm going to be more active than I was before. I'm going to take, more steps than I did last week. I'm going to eat one less burger. I don't know. Yeah. Like, you can set reasonable things that can actually make a big difference. I'm going to pray a little bit more. I'm going to go to church one more Sunday a month than I currently do, whatever that might be. Yeah.
So I've been going to a nutritionist for a while now.
Really thought you were about to say I've been going to a new church.
New church. Yes. I'm telling you guys now this way. Nutritionist.
Yeah.
And we actually ended up meeting kind of right after New Year's, right? And one of the things that we talked about, because she's like, this time of the year is always, everybody's inundated with these like new routine, new start, fresh start, better you, messaging, right? And one of the things that she says is that it's really about going back to your routine after like the holidays, right? And just going back to what you know and trust and know works for you, right? Like, and having trust in the routine that works. And I think that maybe there's a little bit that we can pull from that for like our faith lives too, right?
Yeah.
We've been kind of probably most of us all over the map with the holidays and, the end of one year, the beginning of another. And I don't know that it always needs to be like the like different additional goal so much as it is a fallback to the routine, right? Like,
Now, if the routine is, beer and potato chips every day, then we probably need to adjust the routine, right?
This is assuming that you've been going to a nutritionist for a while. So, assuming that you had some sort of like faith life
helpful
in
routine.
Place.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah. I think she's ultimately an idiot too, like this. She's a person who's known suffering, like most of us have, and yet also acknowledges that from a worldly standpoint and from an understanding standpoint, her life is pretty good. Like, that, like, has more than enough reasonable, you know, creature comforts of this world compared to a lot of people in this world, is living, you know, a wealthier or more safe environment or things like that, and yet can still feel unhappy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is an important thing to say, like, yeah, I can resonate with this, right? Like, even though, yeah, I've known suffering, I've known hurt, but probably from the grand scheme, things have been pretty good.
Yeah, sure.
And especially when you compare my structure, my life, where I am to people around the world, it's far better, you mm-hmm. know, like it's undeniable, mm-hmm. and yet still feeling, I can feel unhappy sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think that this is a good question. Like, so what do we do with this of like when we just feel unhappy?
Mm. I mean, I don't think anyone should be or should expect to feel happy all the time.
Yeah.
I think perhaps
yeah.
that's a false expectation, a false bar that we've set for ourselves.
Yeah.
And particularly like there's nothing about New Year's Day or Christmas Day or Thanksgiving Day that should inherently make you happy.
Yeah.
Like there might be opportunities for celebration and joy, and like hopefully you're in a place where you can be around people who bring you pleasure in the midst of that, but it's also okay to say like I'm still grieving this thing, or I'm still like I'm not happy in the midst, like that is a part of the human experience, and that's okay. And I do think there's a lot of cultural pressure to be like overjoyed at every single holiday. Like you have to be happy on New Year's Day, you have to be happy on Valentine's Day, you have to be happy on the 4th of July and Arbor Day and what, like whatever it, I don't know. And I think that cultural pressure is a false idol in some ways, of like saying, oh, happiness is the thing that we worship.
Yeah.
As opposed to being real in the life that we have and saying like, no, God is as much present with me in the midst of my grief, sadness, despair, whatever it might be that we're feeling. God is as much present with me in that on New Year's Day as God was on New Year's Eve, as God will be on March the 1st, or I don't know. Is March 1st a holiday? March 1st is probably something. I don't know.
February 2nd is Groundhog Day.
Yeah. God's with me on that day too.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, one thing I've heard tossed around a lot is that all emotions are information, right?
Mm,
for
sure.
You. So like, I guess it could be an opportunity to say, what is the unhappiness teaching you? Like, what can you learn from that about,
yeah.
you know, your habits, your life, where you are, your expectations versus your reality, and, you know, what information can you get from that?
Mm.
Yeah, I think the reality is, like, all of us do approach spirituality with a sense of prosperity gospel at its core, even if we don't mean it. Even if we don't mean it.
Yeah.
Like, even though if we do, like, ultimately, like, clearly reject the idea of, like, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're going to be blessed with health and wealth, that's the sum of the prosperity
right.
gospel. But we all assume on some level, if you are a good follower of Jesus, you're going to be blessed with the immaterial things, right? And she even highlights something like fulfillment in work,
mm-hmm.
meaning in ministry, joyful intimacy with God,
yeah,
a sense of purpose and comfort even in suffering. And those are the things that are supposed to come with faithfulness, and sometimes they just don't.
Yeah.
And like, but we... That is a sense of the prosperity gospel that we all kind of agree with, even if we know the prosperity gospel is wrong.
Right.
Like the idea of like, well, if I follow God, at least I'm supposed to feel good about following God.
Right.
And sometimes you just don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is obviously, you know, I think a problem, because that if that's an expectation that we're wrongfully placing on faith and it's unfulfilled, the easiest answer is to be like, well, then the faith isn't working.
Yeah.
The mm-hmm. reality is like God is not doing what God is supposed to be doing in my life.
Yeah. So just give up until you have a deathbed confessional.
Sure. try to at least not preface the deathbed confessional with I'm not a believer.
Right.
At minimum.
Yeah. Seems that like deathbed confessional sucked. We have some notes.
I'm not here to judge deathbed confessionals, but.
But I'll judge that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, I guess in fairness, I've not really seen many. Or
sure,
any
yeah.
really. That's just kind of the yeah. first one I've ever really read. You
yeah.
know, maybe in fiction, but
Constantine yeah. allegedly.
Constantine?
Allegedly.
Wasn't he?
He already slapped crosses on
yeah.
shields.
Yeah, but he wasn't the legend is that he wasn't actually baptized until he was almost dead.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I wonder if Dilbert got it in. The baptism.
I don't think so. I mean, it did not say that. Yeah,
yeah.
That's true.
That's true.
This is the public one. The private one, I have no idea, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. We don't know what his private deathbed confessional is like.
But if anybody out there does,
All right.
We'd be interested.
Sure.
So what value can be, you know, squeezed out of this feeling of unhappiness in our world?
Well, value can be squeezed out of
unhappiness. Is there value in being unhappy? Like, sure. If we're acknowledging, like, this is part of, like, the human existence.
Yeah.
And faith does not guarantee happiness or an escape from unhappiness, you know, at the very least. What is there value in this season?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Elise was talking about this before, right? That emotions are information. I think that's valuable that we can learn something from the information that's being provided for us, right? It's a data point. I think the experience is always beneficial. The question is, are we open to seeing the ways in which things are working in the midst of that experience, or are we assuming that the experience itself needs to have like an immediate reward, right? And like, I don't know that a season of sadness is going to have an immediate reward. I do think that if we're honest with ourselves and with our reflection and with our faith, I think that there are ways in which we reap the rewards of those seasons in the long term. All right, we talked about the wilderness here. I've talked about wilderness somewhere where wilderness is both a place in which we experience a separation from God and where God prepares us to live in God's abundance. And so I think if we enter into the spirit of sadness and just ask for an opportunity to see what God is preparing us for, right, there can be ways in which we learn something from that and ways in which we grow from that, which is not to say that, like, God throws us into this wilderness to, you know, train it, but, like, in the midst of bad things, God is still bringing about good overall in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we can open ourselves to that.
Yeah.
Which doesn't necessarily translate to happiness, but it's good. Yeah. It's goodness.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, like, if you've seen the Disney Pixar movie Inside Out, it's all about the power of sadness and sure. like how that helps, especially mm-hmm. in transition, you know, like, and it's okay that sadness ultimately leads to a greater sense of, like, comfort and community,
yeah,
in a way that joy cannot in that movie, and
yeah.
I think in many situations. But I think it is acknowledgement of, like, that this is part of our human condition, that sadness is going to be here and that unhappiness is going to be there. And it is a reminder to me, at the very least, of, like, as great as, like, the world in front of us is, it's not the world that we're ultimately sure. marching towards.
Yeah.
And that is okay. Like,
and sometimes, thank goodness.
Sometimes, thank goodness. Yeah, like, it's okay to read about, you know, hard things in this world and feel sad that the world is really broken and really difficult sometimes. And
yeah.
even though you may have grown up with an idolized view of your country, and now you're like, I'm not quite sure I feel that same way anymore, and I don't know if I'll ever feel it again. That it's okay to point to, like, but I think a time is coming when something is going to replace all this.
Yeah.
And I have a hope in that, even if I don't quite feel it just yet.
Mm-hmm.
All right, any other thoughts on the power or anything that you think is good here?
You don't have to have a Happy New Year. I think it's okay to wish people a Happy New Year. I think that's yeah. okay. But you don't have to have a Happy New Year. And right. I think this... As the church, we try to do this at Lord of Life, right? Like, yeah. before Christmas, we have a service of remembrance on one of our Wednesday evenings to kind of give space for people who are grieving during the season, right? And I think as the church, we can do a better job of cultivating spaces for people to experience the full breadth of emotion without expecting them to be in one place or another. I think even on Christmas Eve, I think we tend to lean into, we expect people to show up to Christmas Eve service and be joyful and excited. And we can do a better job of cultivating a space that allows people to be whatever they need to be in that space. And be joyful if you need to be joyful, or be grieving if you need to be grieving. And we probably do that better on other holidays. But like Ash Wednesday, we're really good at making sure everybody feels, you know, junky. And if you come yep. in and you're joyful on Ash Wednesday, we're like, stop it. Cut right. that out. Like, I think we can do a better job of feeling
so I don't all, go to Ash
all
Wednesday.
Of it. All the place. I mean, I think
I'm coming in with the rainbow suspenders this right. year, the little yeah. hat with the propeller on top.
Love that for you. Yeah. I do think, like, liturgically, if we look at the year, like, I think the church year moves us through the breadth of emotions, right? It gives mm-hmm. us opportunities for all of the spaces. It gives us the time to feel the weight of Lent, the joy of Easter, the waiting of Advent, the celebration of, right? It gives us those spaces if we enter into that. But that doesn't mean that we have to feel the way the church year is driving us to in those moments either.
Yeah.
It's just giving us an opportunity to experience it. And yeah, you should feel a little bit bad during Lent. It's okay. It's it's okay to feel a little bit bad.
Oh, the soup does that for me.
Good. Good. It's supposed to. It should make you feel bad.
Sad flavored water.
I hope you feel awful.
Gosh.
Mission accomplished.
Right. Well, happy new year.
And happy Lent.
Right. Are we in Lent yet?
No.
No.
Yeah, but we're still in Christmas, right?
It's coming ever. Well, no, we're way past Christmas.
No.
We're in the season after Epiphany.
Okay.
I mean, not way past Christmas. Yeah, like, we're like a week past Christmas. Right.
We're like, what is today? Today's the 16th?
The 14th.
14th. Okay, we're not quite 10 days. We're 8 days past the season of Christmas.
Yeah.
We're basically still in Christmas.
We're not still in Christmas. Even my Christmas decorations are down.
Wow. Some of my neighbors are still up. But one of my neighbors had Halloween decorations up in December.
Love that.
So, I mean, you know, you do you, buddy.
Yeah.
Right.
Have fun. Yeah. All right. Anything else? Well, hey, if you enjoyed this, we hope you have a wonderful new year and whatever else is going on. We hope
Pastor David, when you're listening to this in the future.
Yeah, I will tell myself that I have a great new year.
You'll tell yourself another perfect episode.
Another perfect one.
We crushed it.
Seems
or at least they crushed it.
Unlike, oh, goodness. All right. Send us an email, beyondcenterpodcast@gmail.com. Tell us what Patrick screwed up this week, and we'll go from there.
We're not going to get any emails. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.